Okay, let's get started. And let me first wish you a good afternoon and thank you for taking the time to attend today's Cloud for Developers webinar. My name is David Balazic. I'm a managing partner and consultant at Consulta. And today, after the kickoff session, which actually happened last week and was about the cloud opportunity, I'm going to speak about the business aspects of using Microsoft Azure as the cloud platform for your solutions. Hopefully providing you with some insights that will help you better understand what is Azure, what are the benefits, and of course, how can it help you with your cloud business development efforts. Now, in case there are any questions or comments, especially if you lose the sound or something like that, just feel free to post your questions, comments to the chat window or to the message board. We are monitoring the board and we'll respond to questions at the end of each section. Now, before I jump into the content, I just want to provide you with a very quick intro of who we are and what we are doing. So we are a company that would call, or we would at least call ourselves, a cloud business enablement consultancy. And we are a company that works primarily with IT partners. So we don't do a lot of work for the end clients. Nevertheless, within this, I would say, pretty narrow focus, we work a lot with ISVs, so software development companies. We also work with system integrators, value-added resellers, but also with distributors and hosters. Now, in the last 5 years, we managed to touch more than 1,000 clients. So when I speak about clients, I actually speak about companies such as you are. And we managed to do that through more than 200 on-site engagements. Now, especially lately, we are also delivering a lot of webinars. And we have a footprint in 38 different countries. So wherever you see on this nice map, those blue clouds, these are the places where we already had an engagement with the client, with the company that is trying to, I would say, develop their cloud business or its cloud business. Now, also a few words about myself. For those of you who have not participated in our previous webinars, my name is once again David Balazic. I am a managing partner, but also a senior consultant in the company. Lately, I'm much more often using my new title, which is Chief Client Satisfier, making sure that our clients really understand what is my role in the company. I actually have a technical background, so I studied electrical engineering. Nevertheless, I never worked as a technician, system engineer, developer. For the last almost 20 years, I was working in sales, marketing, and business development. I also have a pretty diverse working experience. I spent a few years in entertainment industry, then also a few years in energy market. So spend some time with Microsoft, and for the last 5.5 years, I'm with Consulta. I also have some free time. I'm primarily spending that with my family, friends, sport, and to extend also with cloud computing because it's kind of close to my personal interests, the whole change management that is behind this new business. Now, just to kind of emphasize one thing, so we kind of set the right expectation. What we have today here is a business session of Cloud for Developers webinars. So this is actually the second in a row out of six. So what we have previously, and feel free to check the recording, it's actually available on the registration link. So if you just click the registration link of any of the sessions, you're going to be provided, I mean the sessions that are already delivered, you're going to be provided with the recording. So we started with the big picture, with the cloud opportunity, the cash cows, the different services, different markets that are around us. And today we have a session which is very much about Azure. It's about the Azure story. And we want to highlight that from a business perspective. So we don't want to go in any technical details, bits and bytes. I actually have two or three slides that have some nice images that kind of have a bit of a, I mean, that will give an impression of the technology. But more than that, I mean, we want to kind of keep that on a business level. Because what is also going on in parallel with this session are so-called technical sessions, which my colleague Mihai is delivering. And actually, the technical session, the second technical session is going to be delivered right after my webinar today. So today we have the Azure story. Then on Thursday, we are going to have our first session. Actually, there's going to be the first one today in the afternoon, which is going to be about good practice partners. So at 1:30 CAT, about the companies that already developed their cloud business. So feel free to attend this one. But then it's also going to be a repeat on Thursday at 10:30 in the morning. After that, we are going to address three topics that are highly relevant for the cloud business development. It's very much about how to identify first clients for your service. So we want to spend some time on understanding who are the people that are actually buying cloud services today. Then the fifth one is going to be about the marketing tactics. So once we kind of define who are the people that are buying those services or companies that are buying those services, how to generate the interest, because that's, I mean, commonly the most difficult thing to do when you're developing something new. And then the last one is going to be about the sales tactics. So feel free to attend or check the recordings that are going to be available a few hours after each webinar. I mentioned before, we also have a series of technical sessions. I will not go through all those details, but as said, it's kind of consecutive, you know. So each time after my session, there's also a session on technology, which my colleague Mihai is delivering. So feel free to attend those if you are more technical. Now, without any further delay, what's the agenda for the following 45 to 50 minutes? I want to provide you, I mean, that's kind of the how we usually deliver those webinars, a quick recap of what we delivered previously. So I'm going to spend maximum 5 minutes on that. But then we want to spend most of the time on the Azure story. So what's the actually the Azure story in the hybrid world, you know, and the emphasized hybrid, because that's where Azure, I mean, fits really well. And of course, also how to differentiate with Azure services, or how to differentiate, you know, with the solution that is developed on top of Azure services. And then at the end, in a minute or two, I also want to highlight what is next, so what we are going to deliver during our upcoming webinar. Now, just a very quick recap of what we discussed previously for those of you who missed it, maybe also for those of you who attended but want to kind of make a very quick refresh of those insights. So we were speaking primarily about the trends, you know, and this is where we actually start. We said, okay, our industry does not respect tradition, it only respects innovation. And it's actually what we are seeing on a daily basis when we are interacting with our clients. This is also what we are seeing as consumers, not only as people in business, because we see that people are not that excited anymore about the tradition. You know, they're very much excited about all the new stuff that is coming to the market. And we also kind of supported that with some numbers. We said, okay, we are in the IT market, so let's keep it within the IT. And since IDC is still one of the authorities in that market, we said, let's just check what is the IDC saying about this market, about the big picture, about the global IT spending. So what IDC projects for 2016, and these are the latest stats, is that the overall IT market is still going to grow, which is important. So not only cloud, the overall IT market is going to grow. And the growth rate is going to be roughly around 3%, 3 to 4%. Now, what is important for today's discussion, or I would say even more important for today's discussion, is that the third platform, which kind of, I mean, the IDC is actually using this terminology for quite some time, and they're referring to the third platform when they're speaking about the cool, the new stuff, which is in this case about the cloud, big data, social business, mobility. They're saying that by 2017, over 50% of organizations' IT spending will be for third platform. So yes, the overall IT market is still going to grow, but I would say majority of this growth is going to be related to the third platform. Now, why is this important? And I know these are the global numbers. This is not what's basically, I would say, targeting just CE, and I also have some numbers for CE. But even if we say that in CE we are kind of 2 years behind the global trends, I mean, this is still going to happen, because, and I mean, to some extent we can learn a lot from other markets, how more or less this business developed. Now, what is the next thing that I want to share with you? And I'm just doing a quick recap, because previously we spent much more time on those numbers or debriefing those numbers. There was also a very nice study conducted at the end of 2015, when they were asking people about where do they plan to spend most of their budgets in the next 12 years, next 12 months, sorry. So basically, the companies that are your potential clients, you know, where do they want to, or where do they plan to spend their budgets in the next year? So security was rated as the number one. The second one is cloud computing. Then it was business analytics, and then storage. So even here, you know, cloud is kind of sticking out. So it's not the first, it's the second, but even security technologies kind of have a strong correlation with the cloud computing. So to some extent, you know, those two areas are related. So we cannot neglect this anymore. Now, I said, okay, let's also kind of have a bit deeper view or look into that. So the IDC's latest study is actually showing I mean, this study was conducted with more than 11,000 companies from around the world. One third of them actually coming from Europe, including CE. And what they kind of realized that, I mean, there are kind of interesting numbers, kind of popped up out of that study. So first of all, 8% of respondents said that they have no interest into cloud computing. So at the moment, we don't have any plans around that, and we will not do it. Fair enough. 12.5% they said that they are educating themselves. So we are still not there. We are just educating about the options, what different providers are doing. 20.3% said that they have a plan to adopt cloud within 12 months. And 59.3% said that they're currently using, but now I'll just emphasize this one, public or private cloud for more than one or two small applications. So this is not people saying that they're using it for their core system, and this is what the reality today, and this is also the point of the webinars. The point of these webinars is not to say, you know what, we want over the night to kind of rip and replace what you are doing their customers, and we want you to start, I mean, doing cloud only. It's very much about how to make sure that we are, I mean, utilizing best of both worlds. So of course, there's a lot of on-premises legacy. We don't want to go after that with cloud services immediately because there is still lack of trust. But what we want to do, we want to kind of start with some small things. So people have, first of all, I mean, they have an opportunity to test it, try it, you know. They can actually have this, I mean, do it with a lower risk. And that's where the cloud is fitting well today. So it's basically not about how to build a new business instead of what you were doing for the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years. It's very much about building a new business alongside what you are already doing. So we don't want to shoot the cash cow. We just want to kind of start breeding a new cash cow on the site. And that's exactly, you know, what also customers are saying about cloud today. Yes, we are willing to try. We are also educating ourselves about the cloud, and we are willing to start small. So that's how we see it, because there's still lack of trust, and we want to kind of learn first, try it first, test it first, you know, and then we'll be ready for some bigger things. Then we also said, okay, what that does that mean, you know, in the overall spending? Yes, of course, this is a huge market worldwide. The most important things on I mean, two things on this slide is actually about the growth rate. So cloud services, public cloud services are actually growing six times faster than the overall IT spending. So in absolute terms, this is not a mainstream market yet. It's around 15% of the overall IT market. However, it's growing really fast. And that's what makes it attractive. The second one is about the compound annual growth rates that are projected for the next 3 years for Central and Eastern Europe. So it's 11, I mean, sorry, 18.9%, which is impressive. As I mentioned before, the overall IT spending is projected to grow roughly around 3% year over year, and the cloud is projected to grow almost 20. So that's the main thing here. Now, the last one I want to mention from our previous webinars is just this one. Like, what are some performance indicators about the companies that are already doing a lot of cloud? Now, the distinction here is they're doing more than 50% of their revenues are basically based on the cloud services. So these companies actually have 1.6 times by the study that was conducted with more than 490 companies from around the world, including companies in Europe and Central and Eastern Europe. They have 1.6 times higher gross profit. They have 2 times faster growth, and they have 1.8 times better recurring revenue mix. So basically, their recurring slash project services mix is 1.8 times better. So basically, that means, you know, that these companies are growing faster. They're a bit more profitable, you know, and they are kind of bringing this stability into the business. So that mix, you know, of recurring revenue, because the recurring revenue is something that is ongoing, of course, it's kind of bringing some additional stability into the business. So you don't, I mean, it's not just kind of projects, ups and downs, you know, but you have this stability that actually also increases the value of your company. Now, I just want to stop here with what we were discussing previously, and I just want to summarize it with this slide. So what we said, okay, if we go even further in 2020, it's expected that there is going to be 14 times more information managed by the enterprises 10 times more servers as they have today. Not physical servers, could be also virtual servers, but there is going to be only 1.5 times the number of IT professional as we have IT professionals as we have today in the market, which basically means that these people will have to do much more with much less, and to some extent they will not scale. So they will need somebody to kind of provide them with some, I would say, to some extent, managed services. They will need somebody that is going to take over some of the workloads that are related to configuration, optimization, management, that somebody can do in a much more efficient way with the economy of scale. So there is going to be a huge gap. Even today, when you are discussing with the IT client, they're saying, you know what? I mean, we are just overloaded. You know, we cannot do anything more. We have so many projects, and I mean, the budgets have not increased that much in the last few years. So they will have a stepping gap. So I would say that today we're in a very good position to start addressing this upcoming staffing gap. And that actually brings me to my first poll question. So, and the question is very simple. What is the importance of the cloud services for your company 1 year plan? So we and the options are five. So we just want to test the water. This is the first one. So we are not that serious about it, or we don't plan to be very serious about it. We just want to test some of the things, and then let's see how that works. The second one is like, okay, we are already doing it, and but we are kind of still in a very strong pull mode. So we would offer some of such options only when a customer requests it. So only when a customer says, you know what, I want to do some cloud, or I want you to deliver this your solution, or would say whatever you're offering, you know, as the cloud format of the delivery. The third one, it's about alternative. So you offer that as an alternative. So you know what, dear customers, this is what we would like to do. It's going to be on premises. We're going to develop some, or we already developed, you know, some software that is going to be installed in your on-premises environment. Now, we also have an alternative, which is SaaS. That would be basically positioning. The fourth one is about it's fair. It's like offered as one of the options, so you fairly present both options. So we can do it as on-premises in installation or deployment. We can do it as SaaS, and you kind of fairly present that to the client. And the last one, it's about the push. So you would actually offer this as the first option, and then the client would actually push that back. Then you would actually go into discussion about how you can actually deploy that on premises. So are you still kind of, say, more in the experimenting mode, or are you already pushing that, you know, as on the other extreme, you know, as the first option? And let me also share the results with you. Okay. So we see that majority of the companies are still testing the water, and that's kind of interesting, you know. Not majority, actually, the majority is in the push mode. So say that's usually what we are getting. It's like that people are either at the beginning, so testing the water, or are they either on the other extreme, is like push, or and then like the third strongest is somewhere in between. Thank you very much for that. I mean, it kind of helps us also a lot with our future content preps, you know, so we make sure that we're really delivering stuff with our next webinar that makes sense for you. Okay, now let's switch the gears and let's start with the Azure. So I want to kind of start with the big picture of Azure, and then I want to kind of narrow it down to I would say some of the details, but still kind of I'll try to reflect that from the business perspective. And I always start with such inspirational quotes, so I want to provide one here. And it kind of really, I mean, if you take a look on what happened the last few years, that technology has made, I mean, renting things as simple as it made buying things a decade ago. Not just in IT, it's actually in all the industries. And we also spoke about other industries during our first webinar, and we actually showed that this is happening. Now, if you just kind of put that in a scale, you know, for those of you who are more emotional, you know, kind of more like thinking, you know, in hypes, you know, and all those spikes that are happening in the market. And those kind of spikes are happening each 15 to 20 years. Like in 1990s, there was the internet was kind of, I mean, it kind of started to become a mainstream. In 2005, cloud computing movements not started, you know, because some people will say, you know what, cloud computing actually started in the 80s. But the cloud movement, you know, as I mean, the cloud as we know it today, you know, and all the hype kind of started in 2005. Now, 2020, what is projected is that is we're going to have the era of the Internet of Things, which I mean, and all these things, you know, or Internet of Everything is actually powered by different clouds from around the world. So we kind of are at the beginning of something that is going to be even bigger. Now, for those of you who are in different industries, and these are some that I kind of listed that are kind of the hypes around the new things about innovation, so-called smart cities, smart factories, smart homes, smart grids, smart retail. These are all things, you know, that are kind of providing a second level experience, for example, in citizens in the world. And most of them are possible only by, I would say, the infrastructure that cloud is providing today with the economy of scale. Now, I'm not saying that people could not build their smart cities without the cloud or public cloud services, and they're actually doing that even without cloud. I'm just saying that because realistically, whatever is being offered as part of the cloud or the cloud services benefits could be built on site. However, it would probably cost much more with the economy of scale the guys that are offering those public cloud services have. So that's the main point. Most of those things that are listed here are actually now being enabled by, I would say, a relatively affordable infrastructure that is actually provided, you know, by public cloud services. Now, there are also some nice questions that people are commonly, or the clients are commonly asking with the changes that were happening in the last few years, like how do I provision and scale my line of business applications on demand? Like, I have some peaks in my environment, so how can I actually scale that? Do I really want to invest into my on-site resources? I know that there are all known questions, but I also know that from people that registered for this webinar, there are some that are at the very beginning. The second one is like, okay, we aggregated a lot of data in our environment, so how can we actually now start crunching on the data in order to kind of make a bit better educated decisions? The third one is about the social sentiment, like people are getting more and more social when it comes to social media, of course, not in-person interactions. So how can we actually start collecting some sentiments for our brands and products? And some companies are actually very successfully doing that. How can I actually enable my workforce to work from wherever they want and whenever they want? So all these things are kind of enabled, you know, with the cloud services. Now, since this was more like a general cloud intro, like how does things look for Azure? You know, why is Azure something that we believe is a good fit for what we are doing today when we are addressing clients with our cloud slash hybrid offerings? Because in a way, as I said at the beginning, today cloud, I mean not cloud, but the world is still hybrid. So and this is also how the clients see it. So it's not that much about the cloud only, or I would say on premises only. It's very much about how to kind of take advantage of the best of both worlds. So and realistically, most of our clients, they already have some. Now I'm speaking about, let's say, mid-sized enterprise clients. You know, they have their infrastructure, and they were investing in this infrastructure for the last 20 years. And then, of course, sooner or later, you know, they kind of reach the point where they say, okay, we already virtualized most of our environments, so okay, kind of squeeze the lemon, you know, so what's next? They also kind of, in many cases, because I mentioned before, the amount of data is increasing, the amount of server instances is increasing, you know, I mean, sooner or later they'll kind of bump, you know, into the limits that their data center or private cloud has, or their infrastructure has. So what is next? That's more of a question. So in a way, we want to kind of go after something that will first work well with what we have already in our environment, so infrastructure that we also already have, and then of course extend it, you know, with some of the offerings, you know, that public cloud services providers, in this case Microsoft with Azure, is offering. Now, why is Azure a convenient option for this client? Now, we have to, I mean, like it or not, but Windows Server is still the dominant operating system out there in the market. So, in a way, when you're extending things into the cloud, when you want to kind of, I mean, you want to kind of start using some, I mean, you want to kind of extend into the cloud for some excess capacity you might need just like once per week or once per month or for 1 week per month, it's good that you have this capability of, first of all, moving things left and right very easily. And second, it's also very important from the client cost perspective, is to kind of have this, to also kind of utilize, all the management tools, that you're already using, support tools that you're already using, so that you don't need to invest. I mean, you're not basically building, different islands within your internal but also external environment, for the management, operations, support, but also for the system that you're using. So something that is very important, because first of all, I mean, investing, in such, I would say, such extension is, it's, I mean, this is not cheap, first of all, for the client. I mean, I would say it's much more affordable than building it or no, but still, it's not cheap. But then again, we want to kind of utilize all that we have in our environment already, including management, support, and operations tools, that we are using. So that's one view. Now, the second one is very much about, I'm just going to skip the animation for the sake of time. So basically, what Microsoft is providing as part of Azure. So if we were before speaking about some capacity needed in the cloud, and the importance, of the platform that kind of, I mean, the importance, of utilizing the environment that we already have, moving things left and right, using some common tools that we already have for support management operations. What Microsoft today, I mean, and today they are the only vendor that are actually providing there. They're actually providing technology, or pretty much the same technology, I mean, that they're using in their data centers also. Kind of on, not on demand, but they're also providing this as a package technology you can use to build your own stuff. So, for example, those of you who are a bit more familiar with the cloud, with the Microsoft environment, so Azure Stack, I mean, it's more or less the technology that allows you to build your own private data center with the same technology as Microsoft is using in their data centers, which kind of makes this, I mean, moving things left and right even easier. By the way, they're also offering some products, that are, I mean, SaaS offerings that are built on the same technology that kind of speak to whatever we have on this slide. So, like your private data center on one end and the public cloud services on the other end, which kind of brings some additional simplicity when it comes to support, maintenance, management, and moving things left and right. For example, a common identity. I mean, Active Directory today, like it or not, is the number one identity system in the world. So it's a huge benefit if you have such a common identity and if you have such environment that you can kind of use that identity system for whatever you develop in the cloud, even if they have it as on-premise solution in their data center. So that's I mean, where Microsoft has a huge advantage. Now, I will not go into too many technical details because I promised that at the beginning. I just want to kind of now summarize this. So, what is more or less Azure? And this is how we present Azure. And I'm also going to show you a slide from Microsoft how they present Azure, which is pretty much the same story. So, it's a data center infrastructure with more than 100 data centers in 24 different regions around the world. There, I mean, the size of resources is 2.5 times what Amazon has today, 7 times what Google has today. And it kind of they also hold some of the largest virtual machines in the world. So that's just kind of the data center, the infrastructure itself, of course, and also the network, which I should not forget here. And then on top of this infrastructure, we have some infrastructure services, so-called IIS services. So, and it's like about around operating system, server, compute, storage, networking. So this is like when, I mean, the developers would say, look, guys, we just want to kind of take a virtual machine, from this provider. We want to put our stuff on top of that. Or the enterprises say, you know what, I mean, we still kind of do not have full trust towards cloud. So we, for example, we don't want to use SharePoint as part of Office 365. We just want to kind of take SharePoint and put it on a virtual machine in Azure. And then we can manage it, we can support it, we can patch it, we more or less have full control over it. Or any other solution that an ISV would or a software developer company would develop. They just put it on the virtual machine and they run it there. Now, of course, a level above that, there are some platform services which are actually targeting, and this is where Microsoft started with Azure, the developers. Because some people say, you know what, AWS or Amazon is kind of a bit ahead of what Microsoft is doing. And that's correct when it comes to infrastructure as a service. When it comes to platform as a service, Microsoft is a clear leader here. And they actually started with their Azure offerings, offering platform as a service. So why is this so important for developers? First of all, because as I said, you know, as a developer, you can just say, okay, I'm just going to develop the stuff on and put it on top of the virtual machine in the cloud. The other option is to say, you know what? And then, of course, then you need to kind of manage the operating system, patch it, support it, everything. And of course, including your solution. The other option is to say, you know what? I'm going to develop that on the PaaS, so platform as a service, which is like, which already includes the operating system. So basically, Microsoft is taking care for patching and managing that. And of course, it also includes a set of services, platform services you can utilize for your development, including the libraries and everything else. So there are some web and mobile services, some data services, so some building blocks you can use when building or developing your solution. Services, compute, integration, developer services, analytics, media, content delivery networks, all those things that should actually make the development process much, much more streamlined and more streamlined, shorter, and I mean, in a way, should actually enable to do pretty much same things with less resources, which at the end for you as software developer companies is very important, because at the end of the day, if you are capable of developing something, you know, with less resources and in a shorter period of time, that basically means that you increase your profitability. Because nobody says that you connect, nobody actually saying that you connect, then you need to price it also much lower. Because at the end of the day, you know, that's what represents the biggest cost in your case. It's more or less the whole development process and cycle. Okay, let's go back to the slide. So I would say on top of those three pillars, data center infrastructure services, and platform services, we also have security and management, which kind of are split into its physical and logical security, system management and monitoring, threat defense, you know, all these things that are important to kind of, I would say, keep it safe, protected, and also to kind of, I mean, to some extent, you know, show their clients, you know, that this is not just an open environment, but something, you know, where the vendor, you know, in this case, Microsoft, is putting a lot of emphasis, you know, in keeping it secure, you know, and properly managed. And the last piece is also about hybrid operations. So there are some building blocks that Microsoft already put together, like backup. Because backup is not just one service, it actually consists out of more than five different services. Site recovery, domain services, identity management, okay, storage with the store simple. So all of these actually include, you know, it's kind of a packet scenarios. And packet scenarios that I would say 80% of the clients actually need to some extent. I know that you're an ISV, this might be more an SI part, you know, the backup, but in some cases, I mean, you might be also interested into this part, say, because you want your customers, you know, to have backup of their solutions. So that's how we present Azure. Now I'm just going to, because if you come across any of the Microsoft slides, they pretty much tell the same story with this one. So it's like the data center infrastructure. I mentioned the regions before. I also mentioned the infrastructure services. Here you have it in much more detail about the compute, storage, networking. Then you have the platform services in the center, which target, I mean, we are more or less targeting, or Microsoft is targeting the developers with these services because it's about building blocks. It's about kind of simplifying the development process. And then, of course, on the left, you have security and management. On the right, you have some hybrid operations, which are about some prepackaged scenarios. So all of this is more or less the Azure, because Azure itself is nothing else than a nice brand. What makes it, as I would say, a very strong, you know, and powerful cloud platform is this. What's on this slide is all the services that are part of the Azure platform. Now, before I was speaking about development in IaaS versus PaaS, and Mihai, my associate that is actually delivering the technical webinars, he's also actually, I mean, he's speaking a lot about I would say the benefits, or I would say the scenarios where development on IIS might be a bit better choice, and of course also scenarios when development on pass or utilizing pass might be a better choice. So it's not that black and white. But anyway, just to kind of give you a very simple perspective. So if you are doing, I mean, on the left, you have the traditional data center, what needs to be managed and, I mean, considered, you know, when we are developing, I would say, applications for our application, you know, for that is going to be hosted in the customer data center versus, you know, different options on Azure. So if we can just utilize the virtual machines, I mean, we will not bother ourselves, you know, I mean, or even the client will not bother himself or herself, you know, with virtualization or hardware. However, the operating system, the network, firewall rules, data and applications are still something that require management, support and maintenance. So this is more or less developing, you know, or utilizing virtual machines for the development. Now, if you are doing that with cloud services or PaaS, this is what is going to be in a most simple way. You know, these are the areas we still need to kind of take care of. So basically application data, firewall and virtual networks. Now, of course, if you are doing some nice website development or I would say web application development, then even, I mean, the story, you know, with the building blocks that are provided by Azure, it's even a bit simpler because they have the whole, I would say the whole arm, you know, that is dedicated to websites. So it's about then you just need to take care for the web application and the data. And of course, if you're doing the mobile apps or the mobile services, it's pretty much the same story. So it's about mobile apps, you know, and the data, and all the rest is taken care of by the cloud platform or the cloud platform provider. And in some cases, I mean, especially developers say, yeah, but we need to keep the control. We need to do this and this and this, you know, and customize things. And it makes sense. In some cases, it makes sense. Then, you, of course, you're going to pick and you're going to do it on top of the virtual machine. In the cases, you know, where this is not that necessary, I mean, I would say that the right is much better option because you can deliver that faster with less resources in I would say, with and at the end, you know, which is going to result in higher profitability. So that's more or less what I wanted to provide you here on a high level. So Microsoft also packaged some of the services on so-called workload themes. So there's like the whole bunch of services that is more targeting transform the data center scenarios. This is more an SI, so system integrator play, when they are actually helping clients, you know, extending their data center with some cloud resources. Then you have Empower Enterprise Mobility, which is a story that is highly targeting or highly relevant for ISV, so software development companies. Enable Application Innovation, pretty much the same story. So you have some packet scenarios, you know, Microsoft is already providing some scenarios, some services that will help you with delivering the solutions, you know, that are in this area. Unlocking the data insights, so big data, data analysis, data analytics. Again, some services, you know, say that are made that are available on demand as part of the platform that will allow you to kind of deliver much faster. And of course, Internet of Your Things, you know, all discussions or all stories around machine learning and benefits of that, you know, and the services needed for that. Again, there's a set of scenarios, you know, and services available on Azure for that. Now, this is, I mean, just a very quick overview I wanted to provide to you in terms of what Microsoft is doing today, what Microsoft is offering today, how do they package things, how they actually made some things, available to you as the developers. Also, you know, what are some of the services that can actually help you to deliver things faster, just to kind of, and of course, you know, where I started before, it's also very important to understand this hybrid focus, because we need to follow, you know, what are the client's preferences and expectations, and their preference expectations are hybrid today. So they want whatever you deliver on cloud, they want this to speak and work well with what they already have in their environment. Plus, if you actually provide this cloud experience utilizing the identity system they already have in their company, utilizing support, maintenance, operation tools that they're already using, then you have, I would say, a winning combination. Now, since we were speaking a lot about Microsoft, you know, and what partners are doing in terms of Microsoft technology, and I know that most of you are also developing things with non-Microsoft technologies. I just want to, before I start with my next topics, which is going to be about how Microsoft works, I mean, how this environment works with other vendors, with the emphasis on open source software, I want to publish my second poll question, which is actually very simple and straightforward. When developing the software or services, do you also use or work with open source technologies? Yes, no, or the third option is we don't develop any software. So, are you utilizing open source technologies when you are developing developing your solutions? Yes, no, or we are just not developing software. We are just here to kind of get some interesting insights from the market. And let me share the results right now. Okay, most of you is utilizing that, which was expected, and that's also the reason why we have some of the follow. I mean, why I kind of put some of the following slides into my deck, and that was also the case from our previous session that was delivered on Thursday last week. So, let me just jump to this one. So, Azure for the open source. Now, I'm not sure whether you're aware of it, but Microsoft in the last 2 years is doing a lot when it comes to their cloud efforts and even more, I mean their efforts in I mean their cl efforts with their cloud technologies or services working with non-Microsoft technologies. And I would say that it all started with this gentleman that actually kind of said, you know what? I mean, if we are speaking about innovation, not tradition, if tradition was about fierce competition, and competing in the market, innovation is much more about collaboration. So, since this gentleman overtook the position, top management position at Microsoft, what you're seeing on several Microsoft events, they have this nice slide with the big heart, and there's Linux written in that big heart. So the world is really changing for Microsoft. And it's not just about Linux, it's also about some other technologies such as Java support. I mean, it's also about some commercial software collaboration. So, for example, there are several scenarios on Azure that are, I mean, it actually, I mean, a lot of Azure resources is being burned on the scenarios that are related to SAP and Oracle. So when people are running their SAP Dev and Test on Oracle Dev and Test environments in Azure. So, and why are they doing that? Because Azure as the platform is providing several benefits for doing that, including licenses, mobility, including some of the libraries, including, all the things that are needed in order to some predefined scenarios, all of things that are needed in order to kind of kick it off really fast. Okay, let's just start with since we said okay, there are several partners that are doing open source that are doing open source, I mean software on Azure. Actually, during our next webinar, the first option is going to be today in the afternoon, but the next one is going to be on Thursday morning. When we're going to introduce some of the good practice partners from CE region, but also from, I would say, broader region of Europe, and we also have one from US, for example. We will also introduce some of the partners that are, I would say, hardcore Linux partners or open source partners, and they're utilizing Azure for delivering their open source based solutions on top of it. So, that's the point. The world is really changing, So this, in a way, the decision about how we are going to do, I mean, how we are going to, for example, deliver scalable solutions that are developed on top of Azure or that include some non-Microsoft commercial or open source software. I mean, this decision today, I mean, since I said the world has changed a lot, should not be that much about the religion, our philosophy, liking Microsoft or not. It should be, I mean, it should be much more based on the benefits or why we would actually do something like that. Because there are some scenarios where this clearly makes a lot of sense. So, okay, why Azure for open source? That's the good question. So, first of all, unified UX across portal and tools that doesn't get in your way. So, basically, what does that mean? That means, that you can actually do pretty much with the same user interface stuff on top of on Azure when you're developing things on top of Azure. And of course, you using open source technologies for that without leaving the Azure portal or without leaving the Azure resources. Let me rephrase that. Second one is, I mean, you can have a customer that has some Linux services or Linux servers on premises They want to extend some stuff into the cloud. Once again, I was saying before, Microsoft, or I would say Azure approach is very hybrid, and you can do that with Azure. You can do it, and basically utilizing all the tools and resources that you're already using for your on-premises environment. You can also do stuff on top of Azure with open source technologies. Going beyond just infrastructure as a service. So it's not just a virtual machine and then you put a Linux server on top of that. You can actually do many things, in terms of PaaS. So, and as I said, there are several libraries I'm going to come to then. And the last one, by the experiences so far, there's 3-to-1 price to performance ratio versus other public cloud services providers. Why is that? Because I would say that Microsoft is really including several things, and it's making, this this transition much easier, as what other vendors are doing. Plus, with all the management operations and maintenance tools, you don't need to invest into that once again or over again, when you are doing it with Microsoft. Now, how does that look? For those of you who are a bit more technical, so what is basically being what is available as an open source solution on Azure? Open source web apps plus Azure AD. So you can use this combination, of course, by using the Azure platform. Java apps and dev and test environments, Linux-based apps and dev and test environments, Linux lift and shift scenarios. So basically, and Microsoft also acquired company InMage, which kind of makes it easier to lift and shift such environment. HANA dev and test on Linux, and of course extending DC modernization to Linux, which is like, okay, we have some Linux servers in our company. We just want, we are kind of lacking the capacity and we need to kind of do something, so we either buy new servers and then put Linux on top of that, or we just do that with Azure and we put Linux servers there. So they are like in a very, I would say, quick overview the scenarios. Now, just to give you a bit more information about, because I would say in many cases, people are when they're dealing, with the web development, they would use PHP. Actually, PHP has a very impressive performance on Windows Server and Microsoft Azure. And like there's a lot of open source community development of PHP on Windows right alongside Linux. So, and I mean, there's also, I mean, you see that there's a quotation from Microsoft, I mean, from a partner that is doing a lot of PHP, like Windows, Microsoft Windows and PHP. I mean, the things turned for 180 degrees in the last 2 years. And this is what people are mostly saying. Many things have changed at Microsoft. The second one is, of course, Microsoft plus Linux. Linux runs as a first class guest on Windows Server Hyper-V. So basically on Microsoft virtualization technology. Supported on Microsoft Azure Virtual Machines, CentOS, OpenSUSE, SUSE, Ubuntu, so different distribution. And in a way, what does that mean? It's not just this, Microsoft is basically providing capability for this to run on top of Azure. It's that they are also supporting it. So basically, I mean, if you have a requirement for a support from their side, basically they're going to be the first line, the second line support for your issues. So kind of it speeds up the overall process, and it's not kind of finger pointing. It's not us, it's Microsoft. No, it's not Microsoft. It's the guys from the open source community. So they're also supporting such scenarios, which is very important. Of course, there are also several galleries, libraries, of different open source images available on I mean basically as part of the Azure portal. And it's of course licensed and supported by the community, so that's something that I mean there's kind of a nice synergies going on. Now the last slide I want to show here is this one. It's not just about Linux, Java. There are several I would say tools, services, resources that are on the open source side available, as the services or are kind of being hosted. Or integrated into the Microsoft Azure environment. In some cases, it's ecosystem, like all the support and everything else, is ecosystem provided, but it works well, with Azure resources. So I would say it's a pretty broad environment, open source environment, more or less covering 80% of the requirements that IT partners that work with open source technologies have. So once again, many things have changed here. In the last 2 years, there was a 180% shift within Microsoft. So even if you're working a lot with those technologies, that does not mean that you cannot work with Azure. However, when would people like, I mean, there's a very nice example we have as one of the good practice partners that are going to be presented today in the afternoon and Thursday morning. We say, you know what, we are a company that does only open source. But then again, we got a project, you know, that kind of a requirement was to kind of really scale it all over the world. So we knew that we cannot do that, or we cannot kind of realize that by some on-premises infrastructure that would be within the client premises. So then we were looking around. We saw that there's like a nice thing, some nice things that Microsoft is doing with Azure, and we kind of are still develop. I mean, basically, the whole system is Linux-based, but is being hosted on Azure as more or less just a compute resource. I mean, compute basically as the platform, you know, for what we developed. So that's more or less the story. Now let me just review if there are any questions, and please, if there are any questions, feel free to pose that on the Q&A window. Okay, there are two questions. Okay, the questions about the content. So we see that the link to slide. Okay, so more or less, what are the resources you can actually get after the webinar? So you're going to be, if you click on the registration link, I mean, the link you used for registering for the webinar, you're going to be provided with the recording of today's session. What we are also sharing, or what we are going to share, or what we are sharing with the event organizers after the webinars, are also copies of the PDF. I mean, basically, it's a PDF copy of the deck that I'm showing today. So if this was not provided to you yet, it's going to be provided soon. In any case, if you need it urgently, badly, feel free to reach out to me directly, send me an email, and I'm going to provide a copy of the deck to you. Okay, let's move forward since we have 7 more minutes. I'm going to start with my second poll question, which is about, so we discussed the Azure, we discussed, you know, the open source on Azure. What I'm interested in is about, because most of you said we are already doing, I mean, we are doing some stuff when it comes to cloud, you know, we are pushing it, you know, that was the strongest part. But if you were to identify three biggest gaps in your organization's cloud SaaS business development, what would they be? So you can actually choose more. In this case, let's just kind of focus on three. It's either top management commitment, so you're lacking your top management commitment if you're not part of the top management. You don't have a strategy or plan behind the idea. There's a lack of investment from your company into this business development. You have a very poor marketing capability, so you're not capable of generating the interest. You say you don't have a very strong sales engagement when it comes to offering cloud services. Salespeople are not that motivated because there are no sales incentives or compensation for selling cloud services. Other, you know, so there's something else I did not put on my list. Or you can also say none, we are all good. So more or less it works well for us. So once again, is it more on the top management? So the gap, you know, or the challenges that you have with your cloud business development on a top management level, or is it more on the operational level, which is about the sales engagement, marketing capability, and all other things? And let me also share the results with you. Okay, strategy or plan behind the idea number one. Then we have top management commitment or lack of investment and marketing capability. Okay, pretty, I mean, I would say pretty, I mean, it's kind of expected that this is going to be so. And this is, I mean, this is exactly what we plan to address with the next four webinars. First of all, we want to provide you with some ideas on how to do marketing, sales incentives, and compensation, or what the good practice partners are doing, the ones that are successful with this business. But then we also want to slice it down. So basically, target customers, marketing, and sales. That are the last three. Okay, now let me just boom from here. How to differentiate from with Azure? That's the next topic. So first of all, since I already mentioned many of the things, I will go through those slides a bit faster than I mean what I was doing before. But what Azure delivers, just to differentiate now, because we are speaking with differentiators right now. First of all, is integration. It's on premises and cloud. not just from the perspective of moving things left and right, also from the perspective of maintenance, support, operations, which is very important. Which is, I mean, Microsoft, once again, uses the same technology in their data centers, in the offerings they're offering to the companies to build their private clouds, and also within their SaaS offerings. Heterogeneity, I mentioned that before, it's not just about Microsoft technologies, far away from there. Actually, the workloads that are being, I mean, the workloads that are delivered with non-Microsoft technologies, such as SAP, Oracle, Linux, represent more than one third of all, basically one third of more all workloads that are hosted on Azure today. So it's a huge heterogeneity. Security, I mentioned before, trustworthy. I mean, they Microsoft participates in all those bodies. They have all those certifications. I would say that they are pretty active there. The second one is about how Microsoft stands out. So I was mentioning some of the things before. So best identity platform that is kind of a spread through all of their offerings, you know, and platforms. Hybrid cloud, VM portability, familiar tools. Of course, strong product roadmap. We said they're investing much more than all their competitors today. So they're basically Microsoft, I think it's investing more than second three of their competitors in the public cloud space. That's more or less just the range of the investment. They are offering not only IIS, but they also have, I would say, I mean, this is highly rated by the industry, the platform as a service platform, which is especially important for the developers. And when we speak about, I will not go through all the details, when we speak about the industry validation, what is interesting here, you have different players in the market. So from Amazon, Salesforce, Google, IBM, VMware, Oracle, SAP, HP, and of course, Microsoft. So Microsoft is by the industry validated as the only vendor that has both. First of all, technology that can actually help clients to build their private services, that basically is delivering the services on so they have their public cloud offerings. They have all three, IIS, PaaS, and SaaS. So they are the number one when it comes, I mean, when it comes to complete offering. They might not be the number one in each and every small segment, but that's also not what the clients are looking for today. They are looking, I mean, they're looking into end-to-end experience. The second one, it's about Gartner. What Gartner is saying, you see that Microsoft is in all leader quadrants. They're usually not the first or the highest. However, they are the only vendor that is in all quadrants, because the highest or the strongest vendor in all those quadrants is actually changing from quadrant to quadrant. There, of course, they also have some new, there, what's going on with Microsoft, you know, their new friendships and partnerships. I mentioned that before, and this list is actually increasing. Commercial software, open source software, and of course, they also have some impressive numbers behind what they achieved so far. So, for example, the credibility in the market, you know, there are more than 100,000 new Azure customer subscriptions added each and every month. 57% of the Fortune 500 companies today, they use Microsoft Azure. So, and these numbers are actually increasing. So I want to, I mean, of course, the last one I want to show here is about the credibility, you know, so they already have some very nice, they have a very nice customer evidence from some of the biggest companies in the world, you know, to some, of course, also smaller companies that are not on this slide, but that they're also available on the Microsoft website, you know, under the customer evidence. Now, I just want to stop with this, with the core topic here. Just want to kind of, for those of you who are not familiar with Azure yet, how can you actually start, I would say, with the try first. So there are some free trials available. You can actually sign up for free on the Azure portal, on the Azure basically website, and you get some credits, you know, to kind of spend on Azure services. So you can actually test some of the stuff, which is actually a nice thing. MSDN subscription, if you have subscription, then of course you also get some monthly credits. Azure Pass, which is something that your local Microsoft contact can actually provide to you, and some sponsored accounts. So Microsoft also kind of enabled you know, to kind of start without any risk, you know, or without any, I mean, risk associated. So you can actually try it first, play with it, and then see how that works for you without any costs. Now, I want to stop here. I just want to more or less check whether there are any other questions. Let me just check. Okay, there are some questions that I'll address at the end. And before doing that, let me just switch to the next slide and then we come to those questions. So what's next? What's the upcoming webinar? I mentioned before, this is going to be delivered today in the afternoon, 1:30 CAT time. The first option, the second one is on Thursday, 10:30 morning. So it's going to be about good practices, about partners that already went through such transformation and they're successful with their cloud business development. Most of them, they do both. They do on-premises, they do cloud. They're kind of utilizing best of both worlds. And they're also kind of segmenting the customers that way. So there are some customers we will not address with cloud. There are some customers we will address with cloud. But then, of course, it's very important how to make such distinction. Now, what we're going to provide from each of them, what the company is doing today, how they actually came to this point, but then also how are they developing their business? How do they profile their target customers? How do they do marketing? How do they do sales? How do they monetize? What's the business model? And what were the challenges on their cloud journey? Making sure that you get some nice ideas and they were all willing enough to share those insights with you. So we are actually sharing this with their approval and consent. And it's going to be around 8 to 10 good practice cases, different companies, different businesses, making sure that we provide you also open source. Our company is working a lot with open source, making sure we provide you enough insights into how can this business be developed in the future. Now, this also brings me to my last poll question. I would just like to provide me with your input about how to rate the content of today's webinar, whether you are very satisfied, number 5, or you are very dissatisfied, the number 1, and of course, all the options in between. So please provide us with your input because this is very important for us to kind of understand whether things make sense for you or not. So we can also improve for the future webinars if needed. So, and I'm going to address the first question in the meanwhile that was asked before. So basically, a gentleman is asking whether that he's considering a hybrid cloud, but concerned about potential performance issues in transferring the data from on-premise to cloud infrastructure, data latency. Yes, of course, this topic is actually something that is going to be touched in a lot of detail. However, not during the business webinars, it's going to be touched during the technical webinars, which are actually delivered, immediately after. Basically, the idea is that each technical webinar follows, the business webinar. So please check the agenda because there's a lot of, basically there are 3 webinars that are targeting the data mix, the data transfers. So you're going to get a lot of information about that during that webinar. And let me also move now to my second poll question or the last poll question. How do you rate me as a speaker? Are you very satisfied with the way how am I delivering that? Do you like the tone, pace, message, or you don't like it, then we need to bring somebody else that is going to do that. So that's more or less the idea. And I'm also going to wait for a minute or two for a minute for you to kind of to kind of submit your inputs. Now let me check the questions in the meanwhile. Okay, they're also about high performance computing questions, I would say that all of those questions that are more technical or technology related, please visit or join the technical webinars. I believe that the list of webinars are provided to you because this is going to be explained there in a lot of detail. I participated in all of them and I know that Mihai is doing a great job, explaining all those details that are necessary, exceptions, all the rest. So please join those webinars. So here is where I want to stop and I want to provide you with my last slide, which is about the context. So in case you need any immediate inputs, you need a copy of the deck, feel free to send an email to david.balzik@consulta.si. I'm the first on the left. And with that said, I would like to thank you very much for your time, for your, I would say, participation. And I'm looking forward to meet you at one of our next webinars. The first one is actually today in the afternoon, but then the second option of the next webinar is on Thursday morning, 10:30. Thank you very much and have a great rest of the day. Goodbye.